Hi, I'm Akhilara.
And I'm Rohan Nawar.
Welcome to The Long Take. This week, we're discussing the Kunal Khemu written and directed movie, Madgaon Express, which stars Divyendu, Pratik Gandhi, and Avinash Tiwari. It's Khemu's director, Labrio, and it's Goa comedy. Yeah, what do you make of this movie, though?
No, I was surprisingly, I didn't mind it.
Right.
I was kind of expecting the worst, as we do.
Mm.
But I thought it took a while to get started. But once it did, it kind of just went from one gag to another, and I was kind of distracted for the most part, so I didn't kind of mind it. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I feel like it was like up and down. Like there are parts of it which I was like, you know, like that those could have landed and then don't land, some of the gags, and then there are, I feel like, two or three which like actually landed for me and I was like appreciative of them. But yeah, it's surprisingly like a very forgettable movie also. Like it's only been like I think 1 or 2 days and I'm struggling to remember where the movie goes from like a beat to beat moment.
Huh, because simultaneously there's too much plot and not a lot happening. If we think about it, it's just like three guys go on a trip to Goa, right? But then there's so much stuff that happens to them.
Yeah, there's like two gangs, some police officers, there's a third guy who's like with the drugs, then there's Noora Fatih in the middle for no reason.
There's secret agents and stuff.
Yeah, so yeah, there's like a lot of characters and like subplots involved, which I guess makes the khichdi happen.
Which also is deliberate, to be kind of clear, right?
Because
not only does the movie kind of acknowledge the convoluted, you know, stuff, but then it's also trying to be one of those Priyadarshan throwbacks, right? Where you would just have like three or four characters in like a series of just comedy of errors, right?
Mm.
So it's, in a way, it's kind of a throwback to those movies, which is very difficult to kind of do now in the modern kind of context, because those were a little off their time, right?
Yeah.
So this one is trying to kind of tip its hat to those films, but also be kind of slightly edgy and slightly contemporary. And I'm not sure if it succeeds entirely, but then it works more often than it doesn't. Like,
yeah, because there are definitely like jokes like which feel very dated, and it's like I can understand like these characters can be misogynist or you know the way they things, but it's sometimes it's borderline almost like is the movie ka writer also feeling this like this is like you know at worthy to laugh at, or are they supposed to laugh at the character or are they laughing at the joke? Like, and then I'm like that line is quite blurry and I'm like I'm not sure of this anymore.
Which joke?
I feel like there was definitely, so one moment that stood out to me was like when the fish market or whatever, I don't know if it's called fish market, it's more of a fish go down. There, like the whole Pratik Gandhi's character is this like pure veg. He's like, I cannot stand the smell here. And like the way he just holds the fish in his hand for like 2 minutes. That felt like a very like borderline casteist joke to me. And then elsewhere, I feel like there was punching down. Like Dodo's character is this like all guy who's always like after like babes, right? Like he doesn't see women as women. And there was one borderline joke where I think twice he makes like some sex worker joke. And at one point it feels like it's punching down on the women very much.
They didn't stand out to me because just the characters are so broadly kind of comedic, and like the Gujarati Pratik Gandhi character is almost like a caricature, right? Just as much spoofing the idea of this identity of this Gujarati person, right? We are very vegetarian, this, that. We also quite feeble, which was funny. And
but then he becomes like this godfather like level like dude.
Yeah, which is
owning on cocaine.
Which is, I suppose that's the joke there, that this feeble kind of person, hypochondriac, turns into this mastermind almost. Divyendu though is, I thought it was quite a fascinating character actually, that person Dodo, right? Because he isn't a likable person initially, right? We aren't supposed to either.
Initially,
like,
even like the entire movie, like the movie ends with him another revelation and making him even look even worse, right?
It does make him look even worse, but then you kind of empathize with him to a degree because you know that he has been left behind, right?
Mm.
And that in itself as an idea is something that you can kind of understand, right? Because there's a reason why he's been left behind. He's an annoying person, right? it's not that he was a great person to be around, which and still got like ignored by his friends, right?
But to be fair, I'm not sure either Pinku or even Ayush are like great people to be around. Like they're quite a joy killer time on the trip. Like Pinku's like he's constantly like he's like main sir arjugu. Like he's quite annoying as well.
Both of them also have this sense of we are superior to you because we've kind of made it out of so in that way they're also a little, and the movie calls them out also on this, mm-hmm. right, which is it's not like ki ha tum to ideal dost the or you are in any way like people to look up to, which this person Divyendu's character realizes as well, right? Ki, oh, I thought that I was this thing, but like I am kind of in control of this situation and these people aren't really doing anything. Like he assumes the leadership, right, in this whatever adventure that they go on. I thought he was an interesting character, and I thought that it was interestingly played also. Like I thought that he was very good in the role. Sadly, this guy Avinash Tiwari has been saddled with like a straight man character, which I suppose you need. But then this guy Divyendu is having like he's really like committing to this person, right? Which is necessary in a movie like this, because if you approach it in like a half-hearted way, then you are fully screwed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the character is supposed to get on your nerves, and Divyendu got on my nerves, so I guess he's doing a good job.
Yeah, he's supposed to get on your nerves, but then he gets on your nerves, and for me at least, I was like, oh, I understand where you're coming from. I might not agree with literally everything that you've done in the movie, but then I understand that if a person like you was in that situation, this is exactly what you would do.
It doesn't feel like this jarring. He like, wait, why is he behaving like that? This is what he is. Like through the end, even till the end, he stays that character. He still wants the same thing he wanted at the beginning. He hasn't changed in that fashion.
The ending is a little very strange, actually. Not a little strange, and I'm not talking about the climax of the movie, right? Which is, we'll get to it. That was also interesting, I found. But then the very end of the movie, right? Where he confesses, to kind of catfishing this dude, Avinash Tiwari. What's his character's name? Ayush. Which I thought was like this really like strange note to end the movie on, right? He gets like slapped and then that's it. I was like, ye kya hua?
So it's like they had to put the reveal in the movie. They were like, we can't keep this away from like the characters and the audience. But like they couldn't somehow find an organic way to do it.
Yeah, and it's just like immediately.
They have their phones. All of them lose their phones or something.
Otherwise, they had their phones, but apparently the movie is like some 5 or 6 years ago, like so mid-20s.
At any point, like Ayush should have just texted Nisha, right? Quote unquote Nisha. And then Dodo's phone could have buzzed, and then that could have been their way to do it. But I don't know how they chose to do it in this. Or like Divyendu wants to, like Dodo wants to like now like come clean in front of his friend.
Yeah, Dodo wants to come clean to his friend, and then but the weird thing is that it happens right at the end of the movie, and then it's almost like it deflates whatever.
The high of the climax or whatever.
Yeah, the climax itself is interesting because you would imagine, because there's so many characters and so many like subplots have to converge. The way that Kunal Khem chooses to kind of stage it in the most cramped space imaginable, which feels like a strange choice, but then it mostly
like title of the movie. I don't know, otherwise for the entire time I was like, wait, you just took the train once, why is the movie called Madgaon Express? if the movie is about Goa, but like in a way then the ending brings it like home and why he wants to call it that.
Yeah, also it's difficult to do, right? Because you would imagine that anything like a Hera Fairy or one of those movies, right?
Yeah, like because most of the movie normally end at like some chase level, right? Like there's someone chasing someone, drugs are somewhere, and then bags are being like, you know, and then someone needs to get somewhere, like someone has to be freed. Like that's normally like the hectic route is usually like what every writer chooses for the end of a movie. But here it's almost like in a way reverse that and be like, no, I'm just gonna calm things down, put everyone in like one stage almost.
Yeah. And he mostly gets away with it, which I thought was an achievement, because it's difficult to do. Like, it's not easy because you have like so much plot work to get done. You have characters to serve and you have like comedic bits to hit. So all those things to manage.
Yeah, because like most of the characters haven't met each other, right? It's always like they've met exclusively. Like Mendoza and these three dudes have met. The two of the dudes dressed up as women have met like Kanchan Gomri's like people. Then Ganpat, I think, has met no one actually in that.
No one.
Yeah, Ganpat has met no one in that until that point. And the cops have also met neither of these people. They've just been chasing after them, like, from afar. So
and
it's almost like...
met Prateek Gandhi's, whatever, fiance.
Yeah. So then, which, like, they just choose to, like, never show the actress, which is an interesting choice.
I was wondering if they would at the end, because it becomes clear after a point that, oh, Achha, so
in like,
right now...
Right? You can use it for, like, Madgaon Express 2, and you can be, like, you can... Because the character can be around, and we will never know it's her until you tell us, say, Mariam. So it's a clever way to use it in the sequel where, like, you can show the face, but no one will know it's Mariam until you say it is.
Or just keep this as a running gag. Like,
or, yeah, it's a running gag, and she's never, like, seen. And it's almost like the Seinfeld thing. That...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which also reminds me that this is basically Hangover without, like...
Yeah, it is. Actually, like, they almost make it, like, very obtuse, the reference at the end, by setting up the sequel. Like, he's like, Las Vegas, children. I'm like, yeah, this is... Like, you're not even hiding it anymore.
No. All of them can be, like, stand-ins for, like, Zach Galifianakis' is Dodo, and Prateek Gandhi's the Ed Helms character, and...
Yeah, and Ayush's... sorry, I just forgot the actor's name.
Pavinash Tiwari. Oh, Bradley Cooper.
No, Bradley Cooper, yeah, that's
right. Yeah. And you have, like, whatever, Mr. Chow and everybody, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, it still takes a lot of work to, like, you know, transport it, not just, like, the story-wise, but, like, also, like, you know, have the cultural sort of elements as well, which, like, felt like they did pretty well in some parts.
So I'm completely clueless about Goa. Just as, like, generally.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not saying it's, like, culturally, like, based in reality.
Huh.
Of the stereotypes that people know of Goa, or, like, of the Konkan area, they hit those beats well.
Yeah. Which,
I'm not giving them authenticity. I'm just giving them the, it feels Indian.
It feels Indian, and it feels like Indian movies' ka idea of Goa, right? Which the movie also kind of acknowledges.
Exactly, which is why the entire movie is like drugs, babes, and beaches.
Ha. Okay, but
that's like, ye Goa mein ye hota hai.
Goa mein ye hota hai, and the Divyendu also says, like, humne picturon mein dekha aise aise aise.
Ha.
And like,
which is like a nice, like, self-aware way to, like, make sure that you can have your cake and eat it too.
Sure, and then they also have, like, some local kind of say something along the lines of ke tum log aate ho aur Goa ka naam kharab karte ho, etc. etc.
Yeah.
Right. So he's covered all his bases, Kunal Khemu. But yeah, I thought that for a first time director, it's a fairly, like, nicely done movie, because there is, like we discussed, like the climax is difficult to pull off, but then there is also, like, he gives himself, like, an action scene. He has, like,
although probably the action scene is probably, like, which, like, did not work for me at all, but that's fine.
The Machli stuff.
Yeah, the fish, like, whatever was happening in that bazaar or whatever, and, like, the chaos, and then Remo D'Souza's people show up and then start doing, like, full, like, gangster stuff outside. Like, that was at least, like, working on, like, just a normal level. I'm just like, yeah, this seems, if you just lean into the goofiness, then I can buy it. But they would try to be half sincere and be like, no, this one is shooting that one can see this one. I'm like, no, that's not okay. But it's fine.
Huh, but I know I was kind of focusing on just the strangeness of it, like two guys in drag trying to kind of smuggle cocaine out of
this. Yeah, I think the Dodo part worked for me more. Like, was Dodo fighting in the basement? So
large woman, yeah.
Introduced ever, right? Yeah. So that henchman and Dodo's, like, action was, like, fine, because it actually leaned into the goofiness. Ki Dodo has, like, no capability. He's literally, like, lifted and thrown into, like, stuff. So that works on a comedic, physical comedic level, which is, like, great. But anything involving guns and the, like, explosive yahan pe lagao, yahan pe ye lagao, I'm like, yeah, this is...
What didn't work for me was the, like, the Nora Fatehi, like, romance stuff. It felt literally tacked on, and even she kind of... She's like, main kya kar rahi, I'm not even supposed to be here. Why am I involved? And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, you have no reason to be involved in this thing.
Yeah.
They needed,
twice they did that, or the first one doesn't, like, the random song instrument, right? Where the hero is falling in love with the woman. Basically, that's what they're showing us.
Yeah, yeah.
And dreamlike sequences. The first one didn't work for me at all, the Dodo one. The second one actually did almost, like, work for me. Like, the Ayush and Tasha one, where, like, he's also, like, pretending and they're in this dreamlike state. That one, I could feel, like, the vibe he's going for. So it's semi-sold itself. But yeah,
that's also did not. It's the second one is slightly funnier also, because it involves, like, the sleeping gangsters,
and, like, they play into, like, the whole, like, you know, like, this is how hero, like, you know, Akshay Kumar character would save someone, right? He would actually jump on, like, the whatever lighting or the chandelier and then climb down it and stuff like that. So like they lean into like, you know, like, oh, this is what Bollywood tropes are, and we just like were showing that to like mock it. Like that, on that level, it's working for me.
Yeah. Also, it's a little off the norm because the woman is imagining it as opposed to like the Hindu imagining it.
Yeah.
So that's a little spin on that.
It doesn't feel lecherous as well. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, otherwise it's just, you know, a lot of like excellent entertainment stuff that we've spoken about before. Also, like they use their same songs and references.
Yeah. Reference their own movies like to that extent. Like they're like, ha, ye movie dekh liya, we'll remind you of our own movie. So maybe you will play one of these movies after this movie.
But then in what I was kind of maybe subconsciously expecting was that, you know how last year that Ananya Pandey movie that came out with Kho Gaye Hum Kahan, they tried to sell that as like, oh, ye is generation ka whatever, zindagi na milegi dobara hai, right? Which is a great opportunity on paper to kind of show how the generations have changed, but like the experiences are largely similar, right? Between like friendships and stuff like that, male friendships specifically. Ke dil chahta hai se how things have evolved, right? But this movie doesn't really isn't interested in kind of asking those questions.
If anything, it just feels like pre-millennial to me, right? Because
it feels very out,
yeah, because these guys graduate like school and college like early 2000s, and I'm like, yeah, this is then clearly like meant for the audience that Kunal Kemu's age are, right? He's writing for his own generation,
so yeah, probably Kunal Kemu was coming of age when like Dil Chahta Hai came out, right? Which feels
exactly, yeah. I think, yeah, so he basically, I think he finished his college around Dil Chahta Hai, which is why he's writing, like, he's writing out of his own experiences. He's not trying to like write, let's maybe translate this movie to Gen Z today who would like take a Goa trip today. He's not interested in that.
Or even contemporary adults, right? It's not like you could have, there's a reason why it's like set a few years in the past, right? I don't understand. Yeah. Maybe it's just like logistical, we don't want WhatsApp and like Google Maps and stuff like that. That's the blowing answer.
More of like literally like he's trying to extrapolate from like where this friendship would be. Like, how do I keep them? I think because if you graduate like say college in what the early 2000s as they do, and then some of them move to the US or Cape Town or whatever, they're going to be in their 30s when they come to India, right? Again. If he pushes it another decade, like to 2024, then I think they'll become late 30s and 40s, and they would already have families. So he's trying to like intentionally keep it at a point where they're still sort of single and not settled with their families.
But yeah, otherwise, I'm kind of surprised at, because I was expecting this to be one of those like Fukre type things, and I was like, yuck, that could have been like tragic, but thankfully it wasn't.
Yeah, there's a potential to be a lot worse here, you know. You can just like you can fully lean into like the lecherous side of it, or like the people all three running after Tasha or something, and that could be the movie. And then, you know, like you become like, you can have like just endless like scatological humor, as so many like Indian movies believe that's the great point of humor. So yeah, there's potential to, you know, like out there there's enough examples of like how this can terribly go wrong.
This is just a smart decision to not make these people like, there is like a soul deep down in them, like all of them, which kind of helps tone down all the absurdity, and that's kind of necessary, and a lot of people forget that. And I think that this movie is at least smart enough to be like, these people are like characters, they're not like cartoons entirely. So
they are 80% cartoons,
80% cartoons,
yeah, but no, kuch ha, thoda sa human being they have to be, otherwise it doesn't work as a movie,
it doesn't work as a movie otherwise. Yeah,
okay, that's all for this episode of The Long Take. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at The Long Take Pod. You can write to us at thelongtakepod@gmail.com. Please leave us a rating and a review wherever this episode, and we will see you next week. Thanks for listening.